Hey, hey now, you are now tuned into the largest mental health awareness podcast ever. This is Mental Health is Sexy with Coach V from the 513, and I am your host, Coach VMP. Welcome to episode 2 of season 4 of this podcast that is taking the airwaves by storm. Now, if you haven't already listened to the new trailer, I invite you to take 56 seconds, check out the new trailer, let me know what you think about it, and if you are here for the ride. Number 2, if you haven't already, please support this podcast by going to check out episode 1, where I share the backstory on why I pivoted my brand message, as well as a little insight into why my marriage ended. When you listen to those two items, you'll be better prepared to receive the information that I'm talking about today. Now, if you're here just because you found this podcast, welcome. If you're here because you've listened to past episodes, welcome back. And if you're here just because the title intrigued you, let's get into it. Now, as I shared in a previous episode, I explained that my marriage did not end because of infidelity or domestic violence, physical abuse, or substance abuse. My marriage ended basically because we just weren't aligned when it came to how important great mental and emotional health was. Now, as you may already know, I created and trademarked the Mental Health is Sexy brand. So that should let you know who prioritized mental health within a relationship and who didn't. No shade, no tea. So I wanted to talk about today let me just say what it is. I love the black man. I love the different shades of melanin. I love the strength, the stubbornness at times of a black man. I love how a black man is born with natural swag. I love the fact that every black man I've encountered is super sexy in his own special way. I love the intelligence of the black man. I love the simplicity that the black man sometimes offers. I love how important it is to the black man to protect and provide for his family. I love the resiliency of the black man. I love the fact that if the black man's back is against the wall, that in some way, shape, form, or fashion, that man will come out swinging. I love how innovative the black man is. And to keep it a whole bean, I love how the black man was created to fulfill my every sexual desire. I promise you, I love the black man. Even when I had a 2-year hiatus back in my early 20s of dating black men, because I was just tired of being hurt and disrespected and abused in different ways, I always knew that during my experimentation with other nationalities, other races, that whenever I did get married, I knew it would be to a black man. I just wanted to explore other cultures and how other nationalities treat a black woman and their food and their music. And I remember during that time, you know, even though I really enjoyed myself, I just always remember having the thought in my mind that, I'm still gonna end up with a black man. I mean, all this is cool, the different languages, the accents, the different cultures, hair textures, skin complexions. I just always had in the back of my mind, I'm going to marry a black man. Like, this is fun, but it will never be anything serious. I remember thinking during that period, I may even have a child with one of y'all, but I'm going to end up marrying a black man. Now, truth be told, I never procreated with someone who was not a black man. But those are just ideas that I played with during that time. Those were just ideas that danced across my mind, even though I always knew that I would end up marrying a black man. That's just how much I knew I love black men. And when I tell you I dated other nationalities, other races, I dated Italian, I dated Russian, I dated Honduran, I dated Puerto Rican. And then I dated like men directly from Africa. So I know that they can fall in the category of a black man, but they weren't American black. Like, these were men from East Africa, such as Eritrea and Ethiopia. And then I dated men from West Africa, such as Mali. I dated a guy from Ghana. I just wanted to explore. I just wanted to see how it was to be treated by someone other than a black man. And as I mentioned, I had an amazing time learning about different cultures, different foods, different music, different practices. And to be quite honest, during my 2 year vacation from black men, I experienced the most high level of chivalry and respect and concern than I ever had at that time. And I'm here to tell you, I was so damaged though during that time in my life that as a black woman, I thought something was wrong with these men. I thought they were too soft. I thought that if we got into a situation in the streets, that maybe they wouldn't be able to protect me. I thought that if I did, in fact, have a child with one of them, that my child would be soft. It was kind of like a weird juxtaposition of emotions. I enjoyed myself with them. I learned many new things. I was treated like an absolute princess. I just never saw a long-term future with either one of them. And two of those relationships that come to mind, I thought had a potential to be very serious. Specifically when I dated the guy from Eritrea and the Honduran. I fantasized about having children with them. I fantasized about traveling to their homes, their home countries, and meeting their family. I fantasized about learning their native languages. It's so weird for me to think back right now and share this with you all. I just never thought I would marry these men. And I don't know if it was more so at that time because I really didn't think I would marry them, or if it was more so because I didn't see marriage for myself. So it could have been either or a mixture of the two. With that being said, after my experimentation, I slowly drifted towards black men, like American black men. And it wasn't until my mid-30s that I accepted a marriage proposal. Now, mind you, I'd been proposed to many times before,
I just had such a clarity in me at that time that, nah, I want to be with you long term. You a trip. Whether I was being physically abused, emotionally abused, whether I was being cheated on, whether I was being financially abused, whether I was being taken advantage of in another way. I was just clear even in my 20s that, nah, I can't see this as a long-term situation. The ring is beautiful, but I don't see this as a long-term situation. I remember one person when he called his mother, who I was building a relationship with, and told her we were getting married. I remember the lack of excitement in her voice over the phone. And yes, I paid attention to that. I paid attention to that. Like, oh, red flag, before even red flags were a thing. I'm just saying that to say I did not accept a marriage proposal until my mid-30s. And I really feel like at that time in my mid-30s, I just was like, okay, finally. You know, I was swept off my feet in different ways. I was at a point of clarity within myself. I walked into my spirituality. And I can look back and say that I was so smitten by certain behaviors, certain words, certain experiences with him, that I overpowered my gut. I overpowered the little voice in my head. I overpowered my ability to read energy, right? And so I've learned so many lessons from that experience. And let me be very clear. I still love and have love for him to this day. Because I'm in a space of healing that allows me to transcend my ego, that allows me to overcome any hurt or any pain or any guilt or any revenge that I might have had. We are actually building a relationship, a friendship, an acquaintanceship right now to this day. And that only happened because I decided to stay in control of me and not allow myself to be swayed in thought, word, or deed by his behavior or his lack of dot, dot, dot. So the space that I'm currently in with him is on a vibration of love. Not necessarily romantically, but on a vibration of love. And I'll talk about that in another episode. With all that being said, though, like the title of this episode, I love black men, but... And here's the but. Everything that I've mentioned that I love about black men, even me sharing that I'm building a friendship, an acquaintanceship with the man that just put me through so much trauma within the past year. Even though I've shared all of those positive things, I got to share with y'all my biggest issue with the black man. That's where this episode is coming from. I love black men, but it's time for a change. It's time for an elevation. It's time for accepting the fact that the black man has endured so much trauma in their present life, in their childhood, from the womb, and even from the very fabric of their DNA, where the trauma has altered, and then some people significantly altered the composition of the DNA, that so much so that the trauma and the behavior of trauma in thought, word, and deed is handed down through the DNA for generations. four generations. It's time to acknowledge that issue inside of the Black man. It's time for us as women to hold our Black men accountable for their healing. Again, and I'm going to keep saying this because I don't want any of you to stumble across this episode and feel like I'm anti-Black man. I am not, have never been, will never, never be. I love the Black man. But baby, it is time for the Black man to be held responsible for healing from their trauma. Now, let's be very clear. I am in no way, shape, form, or fashion saying that the Black man is responsible for the trauma he carries in the very fabric of his DNA. Or is he responsible for the trauma that he's experienced as a child? Or if he's responsible for the trauma that he's endured as an adolescent and or an adult. However, what I am saying that the Black man is totally, completely, 100% responsible for his healing from his various traumas. And that is women, the time is now for us to hold him accountable for his healing. A lot of us believe that the Black man is a walking God, made in God's image. However, many of our Black men don't conduct themselves as such. They often allow their pride, their ignorance, their insecurity, and their false bravado to prevent them from realizing the things that truly matter in life. A lot of our Black men are raised not to cry. Sometimes even the tears are beaten out of them. And what I mean by that is this. Not they're beaten and then they cry because they're in pain. Some of our Black men have been beaten to learn to not cry. They've been called sissies. They've been called punks. They've been accused of acting like a female. Oh, I hate that term. Acting like a female if they cry. Or some men have even been called the B word. I don't want to say it, but y'all know what I'm talking about. The B word, where the definition is female dog. That type of mentality has been ingrained into the Black man from young. So that when he becomes older, all he does is focus on providing for his family, protecting his family, being the breadwinner, being a stand-up guy, fixing things, go making things happen. But when it comes to them being tuned in, tapped in, and turned on to their mental, emotional, and oftentimes spiritual health, they often leave a lot to be desired. Now, I know you're listening to this podcast and experiencing one or two emotions. Either you're nodding your head in agreement, or right now your ego is telling you to attack me for what I'm saying, to disagree strongly with what I'm saying, to maybe even view me as some right-wing feminist. And if that ain't an oxymoron, I don't know what is. But I know that there's some of you who are coming across this podcast episode and I'm riling up your demons. I'm agitating your spirit. Because even though I'm listing all these amazing things that you are as a Black man, I'm challenging you to be better. And I'm challenging you, and I'm pushing, and I'm poking you in the area of your life that you were taught is not important. I get that. My husband taught me that. I accept the lesson. And now I'm doing my part to create change within my community, starting with this podcast episode. Again, I love my Black man, but the time has come for y'all to do better in focusing on and prioritizing your mental and emotional health. And as women, as Black women, the time has come for us to demand that our Black men prioritize their mental and emotional health. The year is 2022, and there's a lot of women out here getting it for themselves, getting to the money, getting their dream homes, building their business, following their dream career, raising their families, traveling, improving their bodies, like all of the things. Women are out here dipping it and zooing it in my Wendy Williams voice. So there's a lot of things that our ancestors depended on Black men to do or provide for us. And we out here getting to it now. We may even have came from families where we watched our mother depend on our dads to do A, B, C, D, and E. So when I say ancestors, I don't mean necessarily 100 years ago. I mean mama, grandmama, auntie. Like a lot of us Black women today, we've watched the women before us depend on Black men for A, B, C, D, and E. And now we're here, part of the society where the very things that our mamas and grandmamas and great grandmamas and aunties depended on Black men for, we out here with the snap of our finger producing these things sans the Black man. So let me replace one need with another. If we as Black women no longer need all of these provisions that we've watched Black men provide to our mamas and grandmamas and great grandmamas and aunties, what do we need from them? Now, I don't want you, some of you sisters who listening to this, I don't need a man for nothing. What's she talking about? Oh, she lost me there. Blah, 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 blah. That's not the energy we're coming from. What I'm saying is, as a people, as a community, we're always going to need something from our community. And I'm just saying that those things that we need look different today than they did yesterday or 10 years ago or 30 years ago. Or 600 years ago. So let's replace those needs, since we're out here providing, we driving foreigns and building dream homes and taking luxury vacations and raising our credit scores and in the gym working out and raising families, all these things on our own that we don't need the man for any longer. Let me offer something that we do need from our Black man. So again, replacing one need with another. We need for our Black men to prioritize their mental health. We need for our Black men to know that it's okay to cry in our arms, that we are a safe space for them. We need our Black men to know that we love them and that healing from their trauma is the most important thing we need them to get on board with. Because once you get your mental, emotional, and spiritual space in order, the money will come, the success will come, the sweet love making will come. You'll have the resources and the tools to build the home of your dreams, the business of your dreams, to follow your career choices, to navigate these streets amongst the people who hate exactly what you are. Without that mental, emotional, and spiritual strength, though, you're inclined to make poor decisions in all of the categories I just previously mentioned. When you get tuned in, tapped in, and turned on to prioritizing your mental health and that emotional and spiritual health as well, you will no longer desire to be in positions and situations and around people that will cause you harm, whether it's immediate or long term. You'll speak better. You'll move smarter. You'll be slow to anger. Your motivation in life will be love. Because once you prioritize your mental health, you will no longer have a desire to harm your neighbor. You will no longer have a desire to be closed in or to be defensive all the time because you think everyone here is out to get you. What I'm saying here is this: the key to forcing our Black men to prioritize great mental health is the Black woman. We put so much pressure, directly or indirectly, upon our Black men that sometimes it makes their head spin. So their innate nature as a provider, as a protector, as a problem solver allows them to default back to the things that were instilled in them from young, which is to be a great provider, to be a great protector, to be a problem solver. So when we as women apply that pressure, and they're confused, they don't want to ask for help because that's that ego, they don't know what move to make, they default back to the things they're used to, which is being a great provider, protector, and a problem solver. There's nothing wrong with those things. I'm just offering that in addition to those things, or dare I say, even before we get to those things, make sure that great mental health is a priority within himself, within his relationships. It's our responsibility as Black women to push this narrative, to prioritize this thing. Now, I'm not saying that it's our job to go and protect them and to heal them, because that was the mistake that I made in my marriage, and I'll share that in a later episode. I thought I was responsible for his healing. I thought that it was my commission from God to show him the way, to grab his hand and walk him along the path, and that wasn't it. However, it is our job as Black women to make great mental health such a priority that we sacrifice other things. Let me put you in the mind of the movie Chi-Raq. Chi-Raq came out 10 or so years ago. It was produced by the great Spike Lee. And the movement in Chicago started because there was another innocent young boy's life taken due to gang violence. And so a woman, an innovator, a visionary in the community said, we're going to start this movement where the men ain't going to get no sex until they stop the violence, until they put the guns down. Chi-Raq was about, if there's no peace, P-E-A-C-E, then the men got no peace, P-I-E-C-E. They basically went on a sexual drought in an effort to make the Black man within a community stop the violence. All I'm saying is, Black women, if these men don't agree to add to our peace of mind, if there's no peace of mind, there's no peace. Try that on for size. Let me know what you think. As always, you can send your feedback or topic ideas via the website at coachvmp.com. I will put it in the description. And we are working on growing our influence on Instagram, growing our following. So please look us up at Coach VMP on Instagram. Give us a follow, share this podcast with your friends, with your sisters, and send me a DM. I'd love to know what you think about this episode, this feedback. Again, if you have a subject matter in mind along Black relationships and mental health and prioritizing it, or if you have any questions or any feedback, I'd love to hear from you. That's it. That's all for this episode. That took a lot out of me today to share that. It's something I've been thinking for a while. I finally got it out to the masses, and I'll see y'all in episode 3, I guess. Peace.